Reading from the book of Deuteronomy. Moses spoke to the people, saying, "This day the Lord your God commands you to observe these statutes and decrees. Be careful then to observe them with all your heart and with all your soul. Today you are making this agreement with the Lord. He is to be your God, and you are to walk in his ways and observe his statutes, commandments, and decrees, and to hearken to his voice. And today the Lord is making this agreement with you. You are to be a people peculiarly his own, as he promised you, and provided you keep all his commandments, he will raise you high in praise and renown and glory above all other nations he has made. And you will be a people sacred to the Lord your God, as he promised." Verbum Domini. Blessed are they who follow the law of the Lord. Blessed are they whose way is blameless, who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are they who observe his decrees, who seek him with all their heart. You have commanded that your precepts be diligently kept. Oh, that I might be firm in the ways of keeping your statutes.
Blessed are they who follow the law of the Lord.
I will give you thanks with an upright heart when I have learned your just ordinances. I will keep your statutes. Do not utterly forsake me.
Dominus vobiscum. Lectio Sancti Evangelii secundum Matteum.
Gloria tibi, Domine.
Jesus said to his disciples, "You have heard that it was said, 'You shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy.' But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be children of your heavenly Father. For he makes his sun rise on the bad and the good and causes rain to fall on the just and the unjust. For if you love those who love you, what recompense will you have? Do not tax collectors do the same? and if you greet your brothers and sisters only, what is unusual about that? Do not the pagans do the same? So be perfect, just as your heavenly Father is perfect.
Verbum Domini.
For our viewers at home, around the world, and around the United States that might not be aware, today in Alabama is a severe tornado watch, weather watch all day, so keep the residents in Alabama in your prayers and pray for God's mighty protection, especially those who are on the path of any harm, any tornadoes today throughout the day. And I thought I'd pray a prayer, a blessing against storms. And this prayer originated in a convent and church in Lisbon, Portugal, and Pope Innocent III, who reigned as Pope in 1198 through 1216, ordered it to be published. And so I pray this prayer over all of us here, over all of our property at EWTN, and for those of you who are at home in Alabama, for those that need protection as well. We're praying for you today. And I have a relic of the true cross with me too as well. Jesus Christ, the King of glory, has come in peace. God became man and the Word was made flesh. Christ was born of a virgin. Christ suffered. Christ was crucified. Christ died. Christ rose from the dead. Christ ascended into heaven. Christ conquers. Christ reigns. Christ orders. Christ protect us from all storms and lightning. Christ went through their midst in peace, and the Word was made flesh. Christ is with us with Mary. Flee, you enemy spirits, because the Lion of the generation of Judah, the Root of David, has won. Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Powerful God, Holy Immortal God, have mercy on us. Amen. The Lord is inviting us to be His people, a people set apart, a people consecrated to Him, a people of covenant. And not simply as contract, as employees, but a people as covenant, relationship. In the book of Deuteronomy, Moses speaks to the people of their divine calling, their divine vocation. Moses spoke to the people today. Today the Lord is making with you an agreement. You are to be a people peculiarly His own, as He promised you, and provided you keep all of His commandments. He will then raise you high in praise and renown and glory above all other nations He has made, and you will be a people sacred to the Lord your God, as He promised. A people sacred to the Lord, set apart, His own. The Lord Jesus invites us in the gospel, be perfect just as your heavenly Father is perfect. In other words, be who you are created to be. God has created you this way. In Greek, the word perfect is telos, having the same end. When Christ has that end all throughout His life, His end is His Father. And we are to have that same end, that same telos as Christ. Fulfill your purpose, in other words, it means. It's by hearing and putting into practice his commands that perfection is attainable. And apart from God, perfection is not attainable. In other words, we need him. We need his grace. Pope St. John Paul II described the Christian life as this way. Just as night engulfs us, we must think about the dawn coming, and we must believe that every morning the church is revived through her saints. Not because they conquered the world, but because they allowed Christ to conquer them. It's a big difference. Not because they conquered the world, but because they allowed Christ to conquer them. They allowed the dominion of Christ to reign in their hearts. In the context of St. Matthew's gospel, these strong statements of the Lord Jesus this morning come immediately after, in the context of the Sermon on the Mount, the Beatitudes. The Sermon on the Mount is really the self-autobiography of Jesus. He's talking about himself. Blessed are the poor, for they shall inherit the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for holiness, they shall be satisfied. If you want to know who Jesus is, read the Beatitudes. Meditate upon them during Lent. It gives a precise summary of his life. And immediately after the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus tells us that he did not come to abolish the law and the prophets, but to fulfill the law and the prophets. And sandwiched, so to speak, between the Beatitudes and the Lord's Prayer are these instructions concerning the law today. Chapters 5 through 7 of St. Matthew's Gospel contains the promulgation of the new law by the new Moses, Jesus, the second Adam. Just as Moses went up the mountain to receive the law, so too Jesus went up the mountain, and with his disciples sitting at his feet, he explains the law of Moses in this new way, the Beatitudes. Jesus takes the law of Moses and internalizes it. He shows us that the new law would be written on our hearts, starting with his own heart, his own sacred heart. And St. Paul tells us that God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us, Romans 5:5. It's the Holy Spirit who makes the law of God possible. The Holy Spirit of God makes the law of God possible to live and to love in this way. The Holy Spirit empowers us, empowers the Christian to make what is impossible possible with God's help, with our cooperation with divine grace. And without grace, it would not be possible to live the perfection of charity, to have this end, to have the telos of Christ. Loving our enemies is an essential aspect of the Christian life. You might say it's an ingredient of the Christian life. Heaven is not open to those who hate their enemies. You will have to face them sooner or later. Why not face them now with God's help? So why not forgive them now? Pray for them and do sacrifice for the salvation of their soul now. Bitter hatred can be turned into love with the help of God's grace, only by God's grace.
And loving our enemies aligns us with the perfect love of God. We always want to be aligned with the love of God. It's something we pray for in the Our Father every single day. All the words of the Our Father, every single phrase in the Our Father is meant to align us to the will of God, the perfect will of God. Yesterday's first reading from the prophet Ezekiel says, "Thus says the Lord God, if the wicked man turns away from his sins and all the sins he committed, if he keeps all of my statutes and does what is right and just, he shall surely live. He shall not die. None of the crimes he committed shall be remembered against him. He shall live because of the virtue he has practiced. If I indeed derive any pleasure from the death of the wicked, says the Lord God, do I not rather rejoice when he turns from his evil way that he may live?" Let me read that passage, especially for our viewers in prison. None of the crimes he committed shall be remembered against him. None. None of the crimes he committed will be remembered against him. What a promise. What a promise. This is God's promise to his faithful followers, a people of covenant. And praying for the conversion of our enemies is the first authentic sign of forgiveness. Simple willingness to pray for the person. Pray for what they've done to you and against you. What about if I'm not there yet? It's a fair enough question. What if I don't have the capacity? I don't have the capacity to even pray or to forgive my enemies. What if I can't bring myself to forgive them? What if the pain is so deep that it seems impossible? And no doubt this is the case so many times in all of our lives. It's impossible on our own. Impossible with God. Possible with God. Impossible on our own. And impossible for God. And what about taking the first step and asking God for the desire to love, to forgive? That's a first step. Even if you don't have the desire, to beg God, please God, place even a hint of the desire there. That begins with God's grace, God's initiative, God drawing near to us. He's the one that ignites the fire to begin with, to be able to pray for enemies, to pray for our persecutors. And simply asking God for this desire is the step toward drawing closer to him and drawing closer to others. It's almost like spokes on a wheel. The further you get away from the center, the spokes tend to be further away from one another, but the further you draw toward the center of the wheel, the spokes are closer to one another. Unless you have mag wheels like I did. But spokes actually get closer to one another. We get closer to God. We draw closer to God. We draw closer to one another. And to love our enemies doesn't mean that we approve of their wicked deeds or actions. And to love our enemies doesn't mean that we ignore the evil and let the evil run rampant. To love our enemies is to oppose sin and to will the good of those who commit evil, to will their good, to will their salvation, in other words, to will the highest good for that person. And just in closing, I remember when I first entered religious life, there was a Life on the Rock show that I will never forget. It's a story of a mother and her family, especially her son. The mother's name was Rachel Muha. And they're residents of Columbus, Ohio, where I lived for 6 years. And her 18-year-old son, Brian Muha, and his friend, Aaron Land, were violently killed in Steubenville, Ohio, May 31st, 1999. And even before she knew that her son was killed, she found herself immediately praying for forgiveness for her son's abductors. First, they thought that they were just simply taken, kidnapped, but they found out that they were violently murdered. She's praying right away, asking forgiveness, and that's a divine grace. Right away, she found herself wanting to forgive, praying for her son's murderers. And she says this: justice demands that they serve a life term because they did the worst thing anybody could do. But mercy demands that we pray for them and that we pray that they make their time in prison their path to heaven. But it takes cooperation with God's grace, she says. She says, I think forgiveness doesn't mean that they can be excused for what they did or that they shouldn't be punished. Forgiveness means refusing to have any anger or hatred or bitterness or revenge. And because we are Christians, we do something good for someone who hates us, who hurt us. The best thing I could do is to pray for them. And I do, she says. A mother who lost her son through a violent murder. And what's interesting now is she started a beautiful ministry in Columbus, Ohio, to minister to children on the streets to give them a place to come, to hear the gospel, to hear salvation. Why? Because, as she says, she wants to reach those young men before they murder somebody. Because she realized that these two men who killed her son and his son's friend, they were once young men too, with dreams, with hopes, and that got destroyed. But her way of giving back, of transforming something tragic, is to actually meet these young people and to transform their lives now while they're young. What a beautiful way to transform hatred into love.